All right, shortest verse in the Bible. It's going to be a short service today. Jesus wept, and we'll go home. John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. We're going through the book of John, the pictures of Jesus. Not every single verse of John, but a couple of pictures in the book of John that I want you to recognize. Every Sunday you see something behind here, represents a picture of Jesus, what he wants us to understand through each of these chapters. Today is empty, which I'll tell you why in a second, so stay here long enough, you're going to find out. But John chapter 11, make sure you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Here we go, the shortest verse in the Bible. John chapter 11, the shortest verse in the Bible. A question, a conversation, and a promise. A question, a conversation, and the promise. The question goes something like this. But some of them said, if this man raised, well, this man who healed the blind man 2 months ago, shouldn't he have the authority and the power to keep Lazarus from dying? I mean, really, like, it's a good question. If Jesus can heal the blind man, why can't he just keep Lazarus from dying? Just heal him from the sick. Poof, he's done. The question, the conversation, Martha, Jesus, if only you were here, then my brother would have gotten well. If you, Jesus, were here, my brother would have not die. And Mary says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is an honest, heartfelt from people who love Jesus, who wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Only if you were here, my brother would have gotten well. My brother wouldn't have died. And then John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest verse, Jesus wept. The promised, Lazarus, come out. The question, a conversation, and a promise. This event goes a little something like this in John chapter 11. You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Some of it's going to be on the screen as well. So Lazarus fell dead. He was sick. John chapter 11, beginning verse 3. So the sister sent the word to Jesus, Lord, one of your loved ones is sick. The one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness would not end in death, so it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus. See, Jesus loved this family a lot. He had a personal relationship with them. He knows everything about them. They're all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cover Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's to give you the magnitude of the relationship between Jesus and Lazarus. And then, skip all the way down to verse 21, when Jesus waited for 4 days and he finally arrived to the house, he ran into Martha first, and Martha says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, God will give you whatever you ask. So even in this midst of hurting and wondering and questions, some honest questions about God. And I tell you, this gave us permission that sometimes through the toughest life situation, when you hit bottom and you go through the things that you go through, it is okay to cry out to God and say, God, where are you? Where are you in this? So Martha says, Lord, if you were here, but I know you're the Son of God. I know you're from God. So something's going to happen. So whatever God's going to give you, I'm okay with that. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So do you believe this? So at this moment, Jesus is asking her a very honest question. Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Do you actually believe what you believe is true? If you believe that I'm the Son of God, then something miraculous is going to happen. This is the miracle. She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So there were a bunch of people hanging out with Mary, mourning with her at the death of her brother. Skip down to verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord, if you had been here." So another conversation. First Martha, now Mary, asking the same question. If only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and Jesus knew who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they reply. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jew says, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he open the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time then there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Lazarus was dead. There was a stench. There was a smell of a dead person." Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strip of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus says to them, "Take off the grave clothes, let him go." And that's how the story went. I would love to hear the conversation after Lazarus came out from the grave. You know? Like, "Jesus, I was fine where I was. Why you bring me back into this place? I don't want to go and fetch water anymore." Back then they didn't have running water, by the way. We're spoiled, okay? "I don't want to farm anymore. I don't want to live in this desert life anyway. I was fine. Why'd you bring me back?" I would love to hear that conversation between Lazarus and Jesus. "Why are you bringing back into life for?" There was actually an interview between, you might not know this, Lazarus and one of the town people. And they sat down, they had a talk. The conversation's on the screen as well. So the interviewer says this. Through the series of the interview, and then Lazarus kind of like going around in circles and doesn't really answer any of the specific questions. So the interviewer says, "But you haven't answered my question." Lazarus says, "Of course I have." The interviewer, "No, you haven't. You're just making terrible jokes." Lazarus, "Sorry." Interviewer, "Life is not just about making jokes." Lazarus, "I agree. There is mortal life than puns." Interviewer, "You did it again." Lazarus, "Did what?" "You made rotten jokes, like you just did. Now the stakes have been raised." Interviewer, "You're doing it deliberately." Lazarus, "Is it too much? Too much? Yes, these puns are killing me. Sorry, I'll try to maintain my composure. "Stop it. "Stop what? I know what you're doing. You're trying to get a rise out of me." "No, I'll leave that to the Messiah." I'm glad you're laughing, because usually my jokes are terrible. Right? No one laughs at my jokes. So I'm glad you're laughing. I got to bring some life up in this place, right? See, you missed that joke. I need to bring some life. See, I told you, don't laugh at my joke. Belle, thank you. Thank you, Belle, for laughing, okay? This series of events in the story of Lazarus answers one of the toughest questions that your friends ask you. What good is it to be a Christian? What's the benefit? What's the benefit of being a Christian? I can't believe this happened to them. A friend of mine, just this past week, or 2 weeks ago in Alabama, went to collect some rent from a property. The renter didn't want to leave, so they burned the house with him in it. Yeah. He was a good, loving father with three children in his 40s. The youngest was 6 years old. A good Christian man. Like, what is the benefit of being a good Christian man? Wouldn't your atheist friends want to ask you that? And you would have to answer that. I think they were supposed to be blessed and protected by God. They're supposed to be rich. I can't believe they have cancer. Right? Why cancer happened to good Christian people? They're Christians. Their questions go on and on and on and on and on. And they like to ask you questions when unfavorable life circumstances happens to you, don't they? And I get it. These are innocent, understandable, heartfelt questions. We're humans, right? We judge the world by success, rainbows, and sunshines, right? That person is wealthy, they're healthy, they're good looking. They must be blessed by God. They must be a good Christian. I'm here to tell you that's not true at all. I'm good looking, healthy, and wealthy. Not because, God bless me, because I'm good looking. Look at my mom. You see how pretty my mom is? Because we're good looking people. I tell my sons that all the time. We sing a song in our house. I'm good looking. And my wealth, I work hard, I save, and I'm frugal. I had nothing to do with God, you know, filling up my bank account. And when you leave here today, your bank account's not going to change because you went to church this morning. I'm sorry to tell you that. Okay? Don't listen to these health and wealthy pastors. I heard on the news this week that a pastor in Texas telling his congregation that they're poor because they haven't bought him a Rolex watch. What? My clothes are nice, all right? My clothes are nice. I got this for free. My pants actually free as well. My shoes actually free. Your husband bought it for me because he get 50% off. I forgot my shorts. I forgot my socks this morning. So no socks, okay? Don't judge me. But for some reason, the world tends to ask Christians a very honest, truthful, and I get it. Why do bad things happen to you? You're a Christian. You're supposed to, what's the incentive of being a Christian at all? The answer lies in this conversation, in the event of Lazarus. Jesus had every intention not to respond right away. He waited how many days? 4 days. Jesus waited 4 days. And he went to see Lazarus. A little background story for a Jew who respond to death in their lives. They sent to wait 3 days in mourning because they believe that the spirit is staying around, right, for 3 days. And then after 3 days, the spirit would enter back into the body, comes to life, which is why Jesus resurrected in 3 days. So for a Jew, they would wait for 3 days before they bury somebody. But Jesus intentionally waited 4 days to make sure that Lazarus was dead so that he can do what he does. Four conversations. First conversation between the apostle and Jesus. It says this, verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And the apostles said, well, Jesus, why are you going back there? They trying to kill you 2 months ago at the Feast of the Tabernacle. Don't go back there. It's Judea. All the Jews trying to kill you over there. All the Pharisees. And Jesus answered them, are there not 12 hours in daylight? Anyone who walks in daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Here, Jesus is referencing a spiritual life that they yet to understand yet. He's saying that he has to go because it is sad that people can see daylight, but at some point, the life of your life will go out. And those are the times that he's worried, that at some point, the light of someone's life will go out and they'll be walking in darkness. As Jesus is saddened by those who live, who will die in darkness. He's telling them there is life after death. There's more to life than this. There's more to life than what you see. Statistically, 100% of the time, all of us will what? Pay taxes. I don't want to talk about it. They just hire like 75,000, you know, new taxpayers. I don't want to talk about it. 100% people die. You, me, everybody. We will die. We're going to die. I heard a pastor says once, they're going to take you to the grave. They're going to bury you. And they're going to go back to the church. And they're going to eat potato salad. That's the end of you. That's what happens. Or they celebrate their lives here. I've done 3 funerals in the last 2 months. 2 of them were believers. And I can tell you this, funerals for believers are a lot easier than non-believers. And the results, what's the same? We talk, and then we have potato salad. And that was the end of it. But Jesus is saddened that he says, I'm sad that there will be people who will die in darkness. That's without him. That's without him being there. That's the first conversation. The second conversation between Mary, Martha, and Martha and Jesus. I am the resurrection and the light. No one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and trouble. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They reply, and Jesus wept. Jesus was deeply moved and troubled. I want you to tune into this. The English language doesn't have the right words to describe the emotions that Jesus was feeling at the time. In the original language, it was a lot more colorful. And the way they describe Jesus' feelings at this time was groan, anger, sternness, stir, and agitated. In other words, he was mad. And these words, these descriptions have the same descriptions when Jesus encounter when he talked to the demons. When Judas getting ready to betray him. When he was getting ready to go on the cross. These emotions of Jesus involved Satan. Tune in with me here. Jesus was mad because he saw the broken, the sadness, the hurt in this world that's caused by Satan. That's got a hold of his creation, that he felt these emotions as a father sees his children being led astray from the love of God. That's what he was mad about. The same kind of mad when I see my son being tricked by one of you. No, I'm just kidding. That the same emotions when I worry about my son. Now they're at the age of having friends and all these influence around them. that lead him astray, the same emotion that Jesus felt at this moment is watching his children weeping and crying in a broken world. That's not the way he intended. That's the emotion that he was feeling. But whose faith was it that's asking the question? Who asked the question? Mary and Martha. Did Lazarus ask to be raised from the dead? No. Did Lazarus ask to be raised from the dead? No. Who asked Jesus to heal Lazarus? Mary and Martha. Christians, put this in your pocket. Don't underestimate the power of an earnest prayer for someone else. Don't give up praying for that person to turn away from their destruction, their destructive lives. Don't underestimate the power of your prayers for someone else that you love in your life. Because it was the faith of Martha and Mary that tuned Jesus' heart because he loves them and raised them from the dead. Amen? In other words, don't stop praying for me. And don't stop praying for Elizabeth, who is married to me. She needs a lot of prayers. My point is this. I know I'm joking with you a little bit, but don't underestimate the power of your prayer for someone else in your life. Amen? It works and it works and it works. And Jesus wept. There's a lot of speculations here why Jesus wept. You know, he was fully human. He was fully involved in your life, in my life. He cares about the little things that you go through. So he saw his creation sad, so he wept. That's one speculation. The other speculation is that it's okay to show full emotions as well. It's okay to cry when you hurt. It's okay to scream when you're angry. It's okay to question God when you don't understand. It's okay to be sad when your friends are hurt or dying or going through tough times. That Jesus was involved in your daily activities. You know what? One bad speculation is that Jesus was sad because his friend Lazarus was dead. That's a terrible speculation. Because Jesus knew the whole time he was going to do what? Raise him from the dead, right? So he wasn't sad about that. He knew what he was going to do. For the glory of God was going to display regardless. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. If anything, you know, Jesus walks up to the joint and said to his apostles, check this out. Look what I'm about to do. Check it out. Right? He wasn't sad. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus wept. I want you to get this picture. From the very beginning of this conversation, Jesus was in trouble. He was angry. He saw his creation sad, being held captive by Satan and temptations. And he asked Mary and Martha, do you believe that I am who I am? And Mary and Martha says, yes, you're the Messiah. And he says, then you're going to experience the resurrection of life. And then he turns to the crowd and he turns to Martha and Mary and says, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? And then they steered him to where they lay Lazarus. So now Jesus turn his attention to where the tombs are. And he's staring at the tomb. Okay, I don't want you to get this picture. He's staring at the tomb, and he wept. He stared at the tomb, and he wept. What was Jesus looking at? He's looking at graves. There was only one name was going to be called to come out of the grave. That name was who? Lazarus. What happened to everybody else in that grave? Stayed. Jesus wept because not everyone is going to take his offer of salvation. That when the end of the day, when your light goes out, not everyone will make it. And I tell you this, as a father, man, I hope all my kids are going to want to come home one day. But as Jesus emotions, why he's angry and he's troubled, he's looking at the grave and he says, look what Satan has done. And at the end of the day, when the light goes out, not everyone is going to make it. The fourth conversation, Jesus looked up to the heaven and says, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I don't need to explain that. But let's end with the fourth conversation. Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. He said, Jesus says to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. A question, conversation, and the promise. This is the promise. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, a new life, resurrection on the last day, Jesus wept because he saw the end. And was staring at the grave, and not everyone will be saved. And he wept. You don't want to know what Jesus saw? When he's looking at the grave and he's calling Lazarus' name, you know what he saw? You want to know what he saw? Yeah? I want to read it to you. It's in Revelation, chapter 20, verse 5. This is what happened at the end. This is what Jesus is staring at. This is the first resurrection. And now there's some theological argument about the 10,000 years and all that stuff. I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what Jesus saw. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, will reign with him for 1,000 years. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Think about that for a second. Jesus stood there. He looked at the grave. And he wept. And in Revelation, the way that the Bible ends and the way this world ends, the way all of our lives will end, 100%, everyone will die. The lights will go out. And Jesus looked at it and he says, your names will not be in the book of life if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wept because his salvation is being offered to all of us, but not everyone will accept it. That's why he wept. I like my argument better. This morning, the portrait is easy. I mean, it's empty. But the conversation is easy because the portrait, it's you. Because the portrait this morning, it's you. And when your light goes out, and when the end time comes, and when whatever that time is, I don't know when that is, okay? Don't listen to a YouTube preacher tell you when the end time is either. The Bible says we don't know. So let's just leave it at that. But it will end at some point, and the light's going to go out. Can you turn off the lights, put on the cross only real quick? Can we do that? Focus on this. The portrait is you. And when that time comes, God's going to look at the book of life, and he's going to find your name, and he's going to say, blank, come out. Blank, come out. Whether it's Scott, whether it's Belle, whether it's David, whoever. He says, blank, come out. What will happen? Yes, it will sadden the heart of God. But he gave us an opportunity to believe in the Son of Man, who is the Messiah, who came to this world, who died on the cross for you and I. Amen? Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your son, Jesus. That he willingly left heaven. Something we can't even grasp. To show us how deep, how wide your love is for us. And yes, sometimes we make you sad. And sometimes we hurt your heart. As often sinners do. But God, this morning, forgive us where we fall short. And we thank you for your grace. And we all can use a little help. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. As the band come forward by way of invitation through the course of this song, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my clothes are already wet. You've never been baptized. We have extra clothes for you to change into, to be baptized in, and then you can change back into the clothes that you wore to church. Will you put yourself in that portrait and never have to worry if God loves you or not? Of course he does. And that's you this morning. I'm inviting you to come forward and meet me here, and I'll take you to the back, and you change, and I'll change back into it, and we'll be a celebration for you. But also, if you need prayers this morning, our elder's going to be up here pray with you. You're falling away from God, and then you said, you know, I need some help. I need some prayer. Our elders will be up here. But don't leave here today without making a decision. As we stand, as our elders come forward, as this song plays.